Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Money Smart Pod. I'm your host, Sean McMahon, and thanks to the generous support of our friends at Ion Markets, this podcast's week-long road trip to the 49th Annual International Futures Industry Conference continues. I'm coming to you from day two of FIA Boca, and I'm joined right now by Sean Creighton, Director of Index Derivative Solutions for FTSE Russell. Sean, how's Boca treating you?
Sean, as you said, 49th year, we're back in sunny Boca Raton. So yeah, Boca's been great. I mean, it's always exciting to get down here. I really look forward to this trip every year. You know, we spend a lot of time meeting with our exchange partners while we're here, and also meeting with participants filling out the whole ecosystem. So it's really important for us to ensure that, you know, we're spending the time with our partners and with the clients to ensure we're hearing directly from them how things are going, right? So this, to me, spotlight on my calendar every year, getting to spend time with those individuals. And this year is no different. We've had a lot of great conversations so far, and looking forward to the rest of the afternoon and day three.
Yeah, great. So, Sean, any of that time last night out there? There's a lot of activities here in Boca. It's kind of well known for the social side of the festivities. So how was your night last night?
As I say, there is a big social aspect to Boca, which is important. Last night was great. You know, we went to a dinner hosted by one of our exchange partners. It was a really good turnout. And then, again, I think this is well known, but after dinner, everyone likes to meet together around a bar, I guess you would say, and there's a lot of good conversations we had there. So it was a great first evening, and again, looking forward to the festivities this evening as well. The FIA really does a great job of ensuring that the content throughout the day is top notch, and then the activities in the evening are top notch, and I think the participants carry that into their own activities, whether it be dinners or drinks or things like that. So it really is from morning to evening, depending on what time you call the evening at. It's a great opportunity to network with participants and individuals.
Yeah, I got to hand it to all the folks here at Boca because, you know, to our listeners at home, the resort here has gone through a lot of changes. You know, millions and millions of dollars of renovations. They've totally, you know, redone the floor plan. But at the end of the night, everyone in this industry manages to find each other somewhere.
It's pretty easy. I think everyone knows where they, regardless of how many times this property has gotten remodeled, everyone knows where the meeting point is after dinner.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you hearing in all these conversations?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the answer of we're hearing a lot probably isn't the right one, but we're having a lot of interesting conversations. You know, from our side, FTSE Russell as a leading index provider, I'd say we're focused on hearing from our exchange partners, as well as the industry as a whole, for what's most important to them from support from an index standpoint, right? So outside of equities, which we have had a lot of conversations on, we've been spending quite a bit of time talking through fixed income and the transition that fixed income's going through to more of a equity, or sorry, more of like an equity ecosystem a little bit, in regards to there being a need for indexes to either hedge exposure or to replicate some type of exposure. We spend a lot of time on sustainability. Now, I know sustainability is an interesting topic because depending on how you dice it, right? Are you speaking with a U.S. partner? Are you speaking with a partner in EMA? Are you speaking with a partner in APAC? You're going to get a different answer, right? So in the U.S., you know, it's a lot more politicized, I would say, whereas in EMA, you know, very much leading the way. So the conversations have been interesting across the globe in sustainability, and that's been a hot topic. I'd say the other interesting one, and maybe it has something to do with Bitcoin hitting all-time highs on Friday, but we've been spending quite a bit of time talking about digital assets. And, you know, if I think back 2 years ago, FIA Boca was overran with crypto exchanges, right? And we've stepped away from that. There's not a lot of people walking around here in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, a lot fewer Nikes and sweatshirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Hoodies and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But in all seriousness, you know, we have an offering in the digital asset space where we have indices on single asset and multi-asset. And, you know, we very much are leading, I would say, in this space. And we've been spending a lot of time talking with participants about digital assets and where they sit in the financial ecosystem. And again, maybe it's the euphoria of Bitcoin hitting an all-time high on Friday. But I also think that, you know, with the recent approvals out of the SEC for the spot Bitcoin ETFs, it's also created a buzz, you know, in the space in general. So, yeah, we've spent quite a bit of time talking on digital assets as well.
Yeah, there was some conversation about that in terms of the approvals of the ETFs and how, you know, some of the market participants might have been wrong-footed by that. You know, I think weren't expecting that much, you know, volume that fast.
I would say. And look, I think you nailed it. Like, I think everyone's caught off guard of how much money was going into these spot ETFs. But also, I think we're all waiting to see the 13F filings to see where's the money coming from, right? Who's the investors in this space? So, you know, for us, it's important that we have the right partnerships in place. You know, we've announced some of these publicly, Grayscale in the U.S. and some others. But, you know, for us, it's really important that we are staying close to this space because we do see a lot of growth potential in this area. So I would say those three topics have kind of been driving a lot of our conversation: fixed income, sustainability, and digital assets.
So getting back to sustainability, you said it's obviously different, perhaps for political reasons, you know, depending on the region. So, you know, I'm particularly interested in what are those conversations like in Europe, and, you know, how are those questions different than what they might be from the U.S. or other parts of the globe?
Yeah, so I think in the U.S. It's a lot more politicized, and it's just the environment that we're in. And also, I think EMA, you know, is at a different spot in their journey on sustainability, right? They very much are leading. But what I would say is a lot of the conversations we've had is around people want to be in this space. They see the importance in it. I think they're just struggling for some clarity from a regulatory standpoint, but also, is it ESG that you want to focus on? Is it maybe the carbon angle that you want to focus on? And I think that's where we've been having some interesting conversations, in that depending on the view or depending on the market itself, whether it be, you know, the Americas, EMA or APAC, you're getting a different answer. Right. And us as an index provider, we're really there to offer solutions regardless of which kind of direction you want to go, whether it be just the straight ESG or if you're looking at it from like a carbon angle. So that's kind of interesting to us because we want to ensure that we're creating a solution that is feasible across geographic regions while we're still kind of all waiting for some regulatory clarity, you know, from certain jurisdictions as well.
Yeah. So speaking of regulatory clarity on that front, so the SEC just, you know, released their climate disclosure rules. So any feedback or thought you're hearing both from U.S. participants who are into that jurisdiction and others around the world who might be looking at that and wondering if that's coming their way in some way, shape, or form?
I think when you're talking sustainable, everyone is looking at what the other regulators are doing, right? Because they think that, you know, there will be a trickle-down effect. It would be great. I mean, I think the consensus would be if there was an overarching framework that covered everything, right? That everyone can build towards. It's just not the case, and we're not gonna get there, right? So I do think that, again, it's geographically focused in regards to the participant and the region, and where their regulatory, framework is going. But also, I would say, even more importantly, if you go more granular, what's the mandate internally as well, right? So, if it's an investment fund, like what are they working towards, you know, in that regard? So the conversations really have kind of gone in multiple directions, rightfully so. But that's why we're here. Like, we want to hear directly from our participants to ensure that the indices we are creating or the indices we have, you know, on the shelf today are fit for purpose.
Okay, and then shifting gears a little bit, one of the things I've heard a lot of people talk about here, you know, aside from AI, is zero DTE options.
Yes.
So what are you hearing, you know, with regard to that?
Yeah, so look, I think everyone has heard zero DTE in the vocabulary. You know, like, again, we go back 3 years ago, no one really was talking about this. Now it's all the buzz, you know, especially in the last year. So what we've been focused on, this has very much been led in the Americas, I would say. So the American exchanges, you know, have extended their options offerings to have expiries every single day of the week. So we worked with Cboe and CME Group to accomplish this. And what I would say is the conversations we're having, the other regions are looking and seeing what's happening in the U.S., and they know it's only a matter of time before it comes, you know, across the pond, right? So the U.S. is very much led in this space, but you're starting to see some of the exchanges in Europe, for example, have gone to supporting options expiries every single day of the week, which allows participants to have that exposure, you know, more granular than what they traditionally had in the past, which might have been every Friday or, you know, maybe there was a Monday, Wednesday, but now they have the ability to trade every single day of the week. So, and then to finish the thought here, APAC is then looking at EMA to see kind of what happens there. So you can see it's making its way across. But, you know, in the U.S., this has been widely quoted, the volumes that are coming through with the expiry of 0 to 1 day is really significant. You know, I think we've heard, or it's been reported, you know, you're talking 40 to 50% of the option volumes are in that 0 to 1 day, you know, space. So it's important, again, and what we're focused on is staying close to the exchange partners that we have in place and offering choice for participants, whether it be from a hedging standpoint or just an outright exposure standpoint. We want to ensure that, you know, we stay close to what the end participant is looking for.
Okay, and then bring things back to here, you know, right here on the ground in Boca. Any sessions you're looking forward to, or any, you know, things the rest of the week that you got your eye on that you're really anticipating?
So Boca's interesting, right? Because I would love, there's a lot of great panels, a lot of great speakers. But the fact is, there's a lot of things that happen outside of the conference itself. There's a lot of meetings that are taking place as well. But some panels that I specifically carved out time for to go watch. Ken Griffin is speaking this afternoon, which I think is going to be a really good panel in which he's going to provide a kind of macro outlook on what he sees in markets. And really interesting, I think, everybody, the buzz is around this. I think they're calling it a Moneyball panel. But what the panel is around taking, you know, a sports angle, taking the sports arena and kind of looking at how financial markets can play in that, right, from an analytical standpoint, things like that. So those are two that I'm really excited to see. That's not speaking ill about any of the other panels. I would love to attend them all. I just, you know, don't have the opportunity to do that. But, you know, again, I would say kudos to FIA. They do a great job of bringing in, you know, some great individuals who are experts in their space, who also, you know, are going to provide some great insight into the specific arena that they're part of. So, all the panels I think are top notch here.
Well, hey, Sean, I mean, you nailed it. There's great stuff going on here, both on the main stage and then in kind of, you know, some of the breakout rooms. I really appreciate your time joining me today. And I've got to hand it to you. Kudos to you, because you're my only interviewee I've talked to so far who hasn't mentioned AI. So congratulations.
So should I go back and say AI too?
I mean, it's the buzzword everywhere, but yeah. I finally got through talking to someone without talking about that.
Yeah, so. I hear you. But, you know, Sean, thanks again. Really appreciate you taking the time. Really, really enjoyed speaking with you.
Alrighty, well, that's it for now. But don't worry, we're going to be bringing you more episodes throughout the week. So follow this feed for more interviews and insights from Boca. And if you want to keep up on all the latest news from the clear derivatives industry, not just from here in Boca, but throughout the entire year, follow the link in the show notes to sign up for the daily FIA Smart Brief newsletter.